Welcome back to the third hour of the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that Odyssey app. It is 39 degrees on this Tuesday, April 8th, 2025. The big talk of the day of these tariffs and such like that. We're going to get away from the ups and downs and such. We're going to talk a little more practical on how they may affect you or I on the ground here in our backyards, in our hometown and across the nation. How automakers are responding to the tariffs and what we know so far. Again, this is ever evolving. It's changing. It's going to change. Some have done better than others. Some really won't make a difference to you and I. Like I said, I don't think we're buying Ferraris or Bugattis anytime soon, and they've ceased imports at the current time. So, but, you know, our autos, our cars is something we do spend a lot of time in. You know, I do about 80 miles a day back and forth, and that's just commuting. If I have to do some running around town or whatever, maybe a little more. Just this past weekend, we put 900 miles on the car. This weekend coming up, I'm going to be putting another 400 or 500 miles on the car. And something we do. So we spend a lot of time in our cars. So from price changes to production pauses, domestic and foreign automakers are all reacting differently to this sweeping 25% tariff on vehicles imported to the United States, which have now taken effect. Tariffs on imported car parts, such as engines, transmissions, won't start until May 5th, so that hasn't kicked in yet. Trump's wide-ranging reciprocal tariffs also won't apply to the auto industry, meaning they won't be tacked on to the 25% tax, so there's nothing above that. But how are automakers responding to the tariffs? Depending on what auto you drive, it's different. And it's evolving. So we have to know that this is an ever-evolving day. Audi, which was last updated yesterday, Audi is reporting halting all U.S. imports, according to a report by a German news outlet. This comes after the automaker decided to hold all models imported to the U.S. after April 2nd at its ports. Now, that's going to cost them money. So how long could they do that? Meanwhile, Audi models imported before April 3rd will still make it to dealer lots, with an AN also reporting that automaker is identifying non-tariffed models with no added import fee and a zero option code on their invoices. Now, reached out to Audi for comment, and while they didn't address the above reports, a spokesperson shared an official statement from Audi's parent company, Volkswagen Group. The Volkswagen Group, and therefore also Audi, has taken note of the U.S. President Trump's decision to impose tariffs of 25% on all import of passenger cars and light commercial vehicles into the United States. We are closely monitoring developments and will comprehensively assess internally the potential impact on supply chains and our production network. We share the assessment of most experts that U.S. tariffs or counter tariffs will have a negative consequence for growth and prosperity on the auto industry. At a time, we continue to advocate constructive talks between trading partners in order to ensure planning, security, and economic stability to avoid any trade conflict. BMW confirmed it will cover the costs of cars built in Mexico, but only through May 1st. Those tariffs apply to the 3 Series sedan, 2 Series coupes, and the M2 models, which are built at BMW's factory in San Luis Potosi, Mexico. So BMW, for their cars made in Mexico, will be covering the tariff and absorbing that fee. Chrysler, one of several brands under the Stellantis umbrella, is temporarily pausing production of the Pacifica and Voyager minivans, which are exclusively built in Windsor, Canada, per a report by the Detroit Free Press. The pause is expected to last a couple of weeks. Stellantis has also announced that it is offering employee pricing on eligible models for everyone through April 30th, but the Pacifica and Voyager are the only new models that Chrysler sells. Dodge, which is also under the Stellantis umbrella, is also part of the employee pricing deal that is available on eligible models to everyone, at least through the current promotional period that ends April 30th. Some of Dodge's Canadian-built models, are also built to a temporary production pause, as reported by the Detroit Free Press. The electric Dodge Charger Daytona, built in Windsor, Canada, will see a two-week production stoppage. Ferrari. Again, I don't think this is going to affect your eye, but it's on the list, so we'll talk about it. The Italian marquee was one of the first automakers to respond to the tariffs. By doing so, it raised prices for some of its most potent models by 10%. The affected Ferraris, there's a whole list of Ferraris. Again, I don't think this is going to affect us. However, other Ferrari models, such as the 296 GTB, the Roma, and the SF90, are spared the surcharge. So basically, what Ferrari has said is, our production models, our customers can pretty much afford 10% extra. And they could. They're dealing with a different clientele. Like I said, probably not you or I. But their models that are more extravagant, they already cost a hell of a lot. So they're not going to add a surcharge because they're already doing pretty well on them. So that's what Ferrari's doing. Now, GM. General Motors consists of several brands, Cadillac, Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC. Car and Driver reached out to GM spokesperson for comment and the company's response to the tariffs, and they referred us to a statement from GM's trade association, the AAPC, which read, U.S. automakers are committed to President Trump's vision of increasing automotive production and jobs in the U.S. and will continue to work with the administration on durable policies that help Americans. In particular, it is crucial that tariffs are implemented in a way that avoids raising prices for consumers and that preserves the competitiveness in the integrated North American automotive sector that has been a key success of the president's USMCA agreement. While no GM brand has officially announced any price changes, Chevy and GM are reportedly increasing production of light-duty Silverado and Sierra at the factory they share in Fort Wayne, Indiana. GM's full-size trucks are also built in Canada and Mexico. At these locations, reportedly account for about half of their total production. By shifting some of that capacity to its U.S. operations, Chevy and GM should be able to offset some of the new tariff costs. So GM, what are they doing? Well, they're praising it. They're also saying that the agreement between Canada and Mexico and the U.S. when it comes to autos is a good thing. Let's see that increase. We also are seeing them increase production of their light-duty trucks, their 1500s, and moving some full-size trucks from Canada and Mexico to the U.S. Ford and Lincoln. Ford is combating the tariffs by offering employee discounting to everyone, as reported by Reuters, called America for, From America for America. The plan will run through June 2nd and should help save customers thousands of dollars. The list of eligible vehicle includes 2024 and 2025 Ford and Lincoln models, excluding certain ones that are built in the U.S., such as the Ford Expedition and the Lincoln Navigator, as well as Ford's off-road-ready Raptor variants. Genesis and Hyundai. Now, if you did not know, Genesis is the upper-tier Hyundai. They were going to go under the same name back when it came to about, but then they decided to go under the Genesis model. It's basically how Lincoln and Ford works. Lincolns are basically Fords. They're just a higher-built vehicle. Hyundai has announced that it won't raise prices in its current lineup of new cars for at least 2 months. This comes a day after the Korean automaker confirmed that it will no longer offer free complimentary maintenance on the 2026 or newer models, called the Customer Assurance Program. It's a direct response to the U.S. tariffs. The Hyundai says it will place until June 2nd. Genesis has announced the same thing, only its program is called Genesis Cares. Kia, which is also a subsidiary of Hyundai Motor Company, hasn't announced a program of its own, but Car and Driver has reached out to Kia spokesperson for comment. Mike Song, the global head of Genesis, previously confirmed to Car and Driver that the brand isn't planning to raise prices right now, but eventually it'll have to pass costs on to the customer or absorb some of the costs. Hyundai CEO Jose Munoz reportedly said that the Korean automaker doesn't have any immediately plans to raise prices. Honda hasn't announced any price changes, production pauses, or halted imports due to the tariffs. Company spokesperson for Honda Trade Associations said, here's a statement from Jennifer Sullivan, president and CEO of the Auto Drive America. Tariffs on imported autos and auto parts will have a tremendous impact on the entire U.S. auto industry. Our member companies, which operate 31 manufacturing facilities across the United States, have spent the last 40 years building the highly integrated supply chains that power North American auto manufacturing. This is impossible to rebuild those supply chains in a matter of weeks, especially with the added financial burden of tariffs. While we share the president's goal of bringing more manufacturing to the United States, we must do so in a way that respects, protects American manufacturing jobs, supports suppliers, provides affordable options for consumers, and allows the industry to remain competitive. And again, you heard that North American in there, that U.S., Canada, Mexico plan. The problem was a lot of companies, including China, were using Mexico as a thoroughfare to avoid the tariffs. What else do we have? Infiniti, in response to the tariffs, has indefinitely paused production of the QX50 and the QX55 SUVs built and assembled in Mexico. The outlet reports that Nissan said production of those sold under other countries will continue. They also believe the U.S.-bound compact crossovers will only restart production if the 25% tariff is lifted or decreased earlier this year. Jaguar and Land Rover, again, will consist of the brands, has announced that it is halting imports to the United States. The pause, which is expected to last for a month, is intended to help the company plan how to address the tariffs. Jeep is owned by Stellantis, which has announced that it's now offering employee pricing for everyone. And the same deal that Ford is running through June 2nd. However, Stellantis discounts will only extend through April 30th. Two Jeep models will also be affected by a production pause, according to a report. That's the Compass Compact SUV and electric Wagoneer S are both imported from Mexico and will stop being built in the month of April. Mercedes-Benz will absorb the tariffs on cost for 2025 models for an undisclosed time, which means the company doesn't immediately plan to raise prices. They are monitoring the situation. Mazda hasn't announced any changes to production or costs during the tariffs. Let me see. Ram is also under Stellantis, so that does the same thing. Subaru hasn't announced any price changes or production pauses through the tariffs. Company spokesperson told Car and Driver that Subaru has nothing to share at this time. Toyota, one of the world's largest automakers, has not officially announced any plans to respond to the tariff. However, Toyota's North American branch has told major parts suppliers that the company will help cover the cost brought on by tariffs, which will extend to parts starting May 3rd. Toyota North America spokesperson said that the company isn't making any statements at this time regarding the situations, but they are telling their suppliers that they will help cover the parts for tariffs. Volkswagen is reportedly pausing all U.S. imports, according to German news outlets. They've already imported to the U.S. and delivered the dealers the said have fee added to the destination charge. So that's all your major auto networks, or most of them. I'm sure I didn't hit all of them. Somebody's going to say, oh, what about this car? But it kind of gives you a stance, hopefully a little more information on to if you were looking to buy a car or have a car. This is what your automaker is planning to do or has in the plans. And again, this is very fluid. A lot of it is wait and see. Let's do something for a month and then see where things land. So I hope that information, I'll put this information on my Facebook page so you could see there and go through it with more in-depth view. But that's kind of a rundown of where our automakers from around the world and how they're dealing with this situation. It's 5:24 here at WILK, time for 2020 traffic and weather together. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Let me go to the phone now. We have Bill from Dunmore. Bill.
Well, Rob, thank you for the time. How are you today?
All right.
That's good to hear. Beautiful weather. I'm going to run my dogs right about now. So, listen, I just want to take up the topic of the tariffs and the propaganda we're seeing about the markets. Okay, sure, we're going to take a hit on the markets. Okay, but this panic has got to stop. Okay, and I don't think it will. You know, the mainstream media will keep feeding it, but people have to understand there's some good news that we can pick out. Okay, so the job numbers last week in the private sector grew. That's a good thing. And secondly, you can confirm this, but isn't there $5 trillion worth of private investments coming back in the country? Wasn't that a story I saw, $5 trillion in private investment, Rob?
There is. That's been promised. It's already ongoing. It's coming in. It's going to take some time to get its foothold, but it has been promised, yes.
Gotcha, gotcha. Well, why don't we hear the good news? You know what I mean? When I'm talking about the main, I don't know, I don't listen much to ABC or NBC, but I know what they're saying. I read some headlines and read some stories, and they just say it's all gloom and doom. It's all gloom and doom.
Well, so that's, it couldn't be politically weaponized then. That's all that's for. It's being politically weaponized. And in the meantime, it's just like scaring people about Medicare and Social Security. You know, they don't care.
Right.
They don't care about the outcome of the people and how they deal with it and how it shakes people, especially if you're dependent on that, like their stocks.
And how about the scare on Medicaid, okay? On the scare on Medicaid, there's I find it that, like, there has been no cuts up to this point in time. Currently, there has been no cuts in Medicaid anywhere. But the grant money, as far as the grant money and the, ending all this these trans surgeries young kids are supposedly getting. I don't know if it, but we hear about this transgender stuff and this young kids being mutilated. A lot of that money is going to stop, which is a good thing. I think that's a good thing. But the scare on Medicaid, there has been no cuts. And one thing I think people should understand, I'm starting to hear the term Medicaid expansion. And for people out there, they have to understand that the Affordable Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare, is Medicaid expansion. Is that a correct statement?
It's not as far as they'd like to take it, but for normal people, yeah, it was.
Right, Medicaid expansion. So that's why I don't even call it Obamacare or Affordable Care Act. I just call it Medicaid expansion because the scheme of it is the government confiscates your wealth, your property, and they redistribute it to make everybody poor, and that's basically the scheme of it.
Okay? Yeah, and the bottom line, it's all the weaponization politically. That's all they want these things for. You know, they talked about these cuts to the food banks and the school programs. That was a COVID era extra thing that brought up. There was no cuts. It was an extra thing that was brought in due to COVID for it, and we're just going back to normal. Well, they consider that cuts, and they'll go, see, you're cutting. Same thing here. I was just looking from December of 2021 to October of 2022. The Standard & Poor's went down, the Dow Jones went down 1140. Well, we're down 1132 now for this. So this is not unprecedented territory. We've been here before. We will recover like we have in the past. Historically, the market has always recovered. But again, it cannot be weaponized politically, and that's the name of the game right now. That's all people care about right now.
I can't thank you enough, Rob, for the time. Always the best. I'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you. It's 5:33 here at WILK. Time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show. We have some breaking news out of the Federal Housing Finance Agency. They say they just fired over 100 employees for unethical conduct, including the facilitation of fraud. There is no note of any arrests or anything like that, but 100 employees from the Federal Housing, that's FHA, has been fired for unethical conduct, including the facilitation of fraud. That's from a notice that's put out from the U.S. Federal Housing Finance Agency. That's pretty much all it says. So hopefully we get some more information on that. Let me go to the phone now. We have Joe from Trips Park. Joe, you've been dropping truth bombs on the text message line for the past couple of days. I'm glad you called.
Thank you, Rob. I appreciate the kind word yesterday. I'm in a lovely 81 North. You got to love it. Just wanted to say a couple of things. I've been in the auto parts business my entire adult career, my entire adult life. And over the last 5 years, really since COVID, it's gotten almost horrendous with the supply chains. When I started, a mechanic would, you know, order a part or a business order a part, and usually we had it on the shelf. Now there's a lot more SKUs now, meaning a lot of different variations of vehicles, a lot more different part numbers, and I get that. But parts were generally easier to find because even back then they were still being made here. Now what happened with COVID, we all saw you couldn't get anything. And you figured we'd learn our lesson back then. As far as the auto parts business was, it's been getting worse and worse and worse over these last couple of years because of the supply chains. There was a time where everything was shipped over to China. Apparently, the Chinese factories are doing horribly keeping up with demand. I guess the issue is they don't have the manpower they used to. That's another topic in itself. But it's costing us. It's costing us dearly. And I think we're kind of losing sight as to this whole issue we're in with the tariffs. Why are so many products being manufactured elsewhere to begin with? And it all comes down to getting it done cheap for profit. And I mean, if you look at some of these factories overseas, the way they treat people, it's just ridiculous. It's just slavery. It's modern slavery.
It is. It's slave labor, no doubt.
100%. I mean, to sit here and, you know, argue about slavery and are they, I'd argue it's still going on today. It's still going on today, and we turn a blind eye to it because it benefits us. And, you know, again, that's another topic. But I think the auto parts industry will be the wild card in all of this because it's been hurting. And it's not because of these tariffs. It's been hurting for a while. There was a good 3 months where I couldn't sell brake rotors for an F-150, which is a very common vehicle, because the supply chain didn't have any. And it wasn't just our company. It was any company anywhere. So what happens is cost goes up tremendously because the guy that has 6 of them left in stock, well, he's going to tell you, he's going to name his price. And I mean, that's just the way it goes with anything. At some point, this had to be fixed because it's getting to point critical. I mean, I had to turn down a very, very lucrative offer 3 years ago because it was mostly commission-based. And if the parts weren't there, well, I made no commission. Now, had I taken the offer and things were what they used to be 10, 15 years ago, then, God, I'd be made in the shade. But I couldn't take that risk. And I'm glad I didn't, because it's gotten so bad over these last couple of years. Something has to be done. Manufacturing has to, 100% has to come back here, because we're going to hurt one way or another.
Yeah, and you bring up another great point about the manufacturing. I remember 18 years ago about, I had a Town and Country minivan. And I don't care what anybody says, it is the Cadillac of minivans. Yes, it is. Had the four captain's chairs. It had three different TVs in it. The thing was great. But they are extremely heavy, and they are harsh on brake rotors. I remember 18 years ago, I was able to go to my mechanic and get lifetime warranty rotors because we made the steel here. We still produce things. They did away with that because Chinese rotors just cannot keep up. They do not hold up. They couldn't guarantee them the life. So I had to buy regular rotors that would wear out every so often because Town and Country's, these minivans, since they're weight and heavy, are very harsh on the rotors and get replaced. So that's where I first noticed that change in manufacturing.
Oh, yeah, we can thank Lee Iacocca for the Town and Country. He's revolutionizing. But and I'm glad you bring that up, too, because you remember when we used to be able to cut your rotors? If you didn't want to replace them, hey, we can cut your old ones. We have a machine. We can resurface them.
Yep.
And you can get another use out of them. Well, that's all gone because the quality of the rotors has been absolute junk. You have to change your brake rotors every 2 years. And if you're my wife, every 6 months. You know, but they're junk. They rot. It's such cheap steel. I'd rather pay 30% more knowing that there's a warehouse right here in NEPA that's employing hundreds of people building the rotors. The availability is always going to be there, so I'm not paying extra labor for tying the shop off because they got the car on the lift and extra 2 hours waiting for parts. I mean, how many times have we not gone to a repair shop? Your parts aren't in. They'll be in next week. They'll be in 3 hours later. They don't have them in stock. They got to go somewhere else to get them. This is an everyday occurrence. An everyday occurrence. I see it in my job. And it wasn't like this years ago. And I mean, I've only been in it 20 years. I know that's a speck in, you know, grand scheme of things, but if it changed that much in that short time span, this drastically and all for the worse, it's not heading anywhere good. We need to start making things here. And I mean, this is just automotive. Let's talk about our Defense Department. I mean, it's you can't fight a war if you can't build the machines to fight it with. And we've gone way beyond that point, way beyond that.
Well, one of the secretaries I played earlier today said it plain and simple. He goes, China over the past year has built 50-something ships. America has built one ocean-bearing ship. You know, that shows where our manufacturing is. And, you know, coming in the audio industry, it's great to have your perspective on it, Joe.
I appreciate it, Rob. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for calling in. And that's someone who's in the business doing it. You know, it's been a problem. It's going to continue being a problem. We need to correct the problem. We should have did it during COVID when we were able to. We didn't learn our lesson. We figured everything would go back to normal. We're not living in normal times. Our economy cannot stand where we are now. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. As we start to wind things down, we got some time here. We got some callers on the line. Let me go to Paul from Mountaintop. Yes. Paul.
Hey, Rob. Great show, as always.
Appreciate it.
No, I was talking to Jake. Back to the rotors on brakes. We got a couple of guys here in Mountaintop who will told me, Paul, hey, you know what? If I cut your rotors on your wife's Volvo, we could probably squeeze another 3 months out of them. And he did. Does anybody even do that anymore? Do they even offer that anymore? Riley's Garage in Mountaintop. Like I said, it saved us 3 months from getting new rotors for the brake job.
Yeah, my mechanic has the machine to do it. It's just the quality of the rotor. A lot of times it can't be done. You know, that's one of the problems I remember back with the U.S. made rotors. And somebody asked me, where in the U.S. were rotors made back then? StopTech and EBC Brakes made U.S. rotors. I forget which one. I believe StopTech is what I got. And they had lifetime warranty because the steel held up. And, you know, they were able to cut them once or twice. And then by that time, you got your life out of them. They gave you a new set of rotors, but then they stopped it because the Chinese steel just couldn't hang out. They're too pitted, too rusted. But, you know, on your call here, it says the need for mechanics. We definitely need mechanics. We definitely need all the traits.
Exactly. Exactly. Great show.
I appreciate
it. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Paul. And it's true. You know, I was at my local farm stand today, Applewood Farms up in Scott Township. I was picking up some steaks for tomorrow, actually. And, you know, the cows of the steaks that I get are my neighbors. The fields are right next to my home. The Black Angus are there. So basically, my neighbors are my dinner sooner or later. But I stopped by Applewood Farms up in Scott Township. And if you've never been there, check them out. They got all different kinds of cuts of meat. You can go in there. You could buy one steak. You could buy five steaks. You could buy some tubes of chopped meat. And, a ton of stuff from hams, products to beef products to everything they got there. But, you know, I picked up a couple steaks because that's where I go, you know, every other week or every third week or something, pick up whatever beef products we're going to use, whatever ham products. Their bacon's phenomenal as well. But I was talking to them about farming and how the generations are not getting into farming and, you know, talking about their kids and her kids in the 4-H and raising their pigs and their cows for the 4-H. It was great to hear. And I said, I want to have, you know, the members from the 4-H on the show here because it's something I want to promote because that is the traits. That's part of the traits. No one works harder than your American rancher or farmer. Our mechanics as well, our welders, our electricians, our plumbers. You know, they put that work in and it takes a toll on them. It does. But listen, if you do it, you punch your own ticket. You write your own life. And a lot of times, if you apprentice under someone who has a business, an established business already, when they're ready to retire, you know, hand the business over to you because they want to see that business succeed. They want to see it thrive past them, but they also want to retire and enjoy their lives. There's a ton of it out there. Speaking to the naval personnel that I know of, they're wanting to build more shipbuilding facilities. We don't have the welders. We don't have the electricians. We don't have the pipe fitters. We don't have the fabricators. We don't have the tradespeople to fill these positions. So we need to create them. And we need to start having conversations with our children in middle school, high school, even elementary school. Listen, you see your kids getting involved with the building blocks or Lincoln Logs or Legos or whatever it is and getting involved. You know, we used to think in our age, oh, let's have our kids go into STEM because that's what they told us. Science, math, and electronics. Yeah, it's great stuff, but if it's not for them, if they truly want to do their own thing, you're making just as much money in the trades. You truly are. So let's start pushing that as a generation on our next generation, that the trades are a great, not alternative, a great choice, not an alternative choice. Just like our military is a great choice. Listen, I have two kids in the military. They're doing very well. If it's done right, as long as you are responsible, don't overextend yourself, don't put yourself in debt. Let's go to the phone now. We have Elle from Wayne County.
Hi.
Elle, you're going to talk on AI? You're not. Well, you don't really go on a lot of computer stuff, so I'm surprised about the AI.
Well, today they were saying on the one show, probably it was around between 4 and 5, they mentioned that if you're wealthy and AI is checking your information, whether or not you should go for further testing, it says if you're wealthy, AI will give you a result that you should go for more diagnostics. But the same thing, they put, I don't know how they did this because I missed the whole thing. And I was hoping they'd come on again, but I haven't heard it yet. Maybe
I was gonna say, how does AI know you're wealthy?
Exactly.
That's scary.
Exactly.
That's the scary part.
They said, if you're less wealthy, AI would say no more further testing needed. And I said to myself, well, there you go. There's another reason why you shouldn't trust AI. Just another reason. But back to the rotors now. Years ago, like after my warranties would run out when I would buy a new car, I went to Jack Williams Tire Company for years and years and years. One of my friends worked there. Well, I became very good friends with him because he worked there, and I was always going there for whatever, tires or whatever. And they used to cut the rotors. But I don't know if they physically did them in the place or not now that we're talking about this. And now that they're out of business, you know, they sold off, you know, there's no really way to find out.
Well, my mechanics, the mechanics I went to, I used to go to Martin's Auto up in Archibald, and you know, he had the machine to cut the rotors. He used to cut the rotors, but the new rotors, just they're so deteriorated, they're not worth cutting. There's nothing to salvage off of them, so
he
stopped doing it.
That's because it's just poor quality from China. They don't manufacture the way that we did. We made everything to last, and that's why you could have a refrigerator that would last 30, 40 years, which they did. They did. Frigidaire did, because we had one that lasted 40 years.
Well, mine's on 22 years, and it's still sitting in my kitchen right now.
Well, there you go. Is it Frigidaire?
It is.
That was the best brand.
And when I changed out my washer and dryer, which we did a few years ago, and we ordered American brands. It came in, had big Made in the USA stickers on them. They're American brand. It's a name-known brand for being American. When they picked up my old ones, they said, just so you know, these aren't made like this anymore. The ones you have are 25 years old. Ones you have are 25 years old. These are made to last between 8 and 10 years.
But are the ones that you got, do they really say they were made in the United States?
It did. Had a big sticker on it and all. Claim to fame.
The parts probably aren't. You know what I mean? The product may be made here, put together here, but maybe all the parts
I got to leave it there. I ran out of time already. Thank you. It's 6 o'clock here at WILK. Thanks, Jake.